You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Good afternoon. It's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast here at PodcastDetroit.com.
Yeah. And we have calling in once again, like we do every month, Kathleen Norton Shock, who's going to be talking to us about all sorts of interesting stuff, all the interviews she's done with Diva Tech Talk, and also with the latest happenings with the Michigan Council of Women in Technology. Take it away, Kathleen.
Thank you, Mike. Hi, Matt. By the way, gentlemen, I think this is a marvelous, marvelous show you're doing today, since clearly I saw your agenda. And in Women's History Month, at least this show is exclusively devoted, it appears to me, to women, women leaders, and particularly women tech leaders. So speaking of women tech leaders, as you know, for almost 3.5 years, Nicole Scheffler and I have run a little passion project on the side in addition to what we normally do for a living. And this passion project is called Diva Tech Talk. Diva Tech Talk is now nationwide, and we even have some global listeners, which makes us really excited. And between the time I last spoke to you in February and today, we published an interview with Rebecca Bastian. Rebecca is, in fact, the Vice President of Community and Culture at a company called Zillow Group. Ooh. Zillow Group, I think a lot of people probably know about. They are, in fact, the 800-pound gorilla in online real estate, providing many of us, buyers and sellers of real estate and homes, with Zestimates of their various property values, and they are used often by realtors themselves, but certainly by you and I, who may not be brokers or realtors. Zillow has been around. I don't know exactly. Well, I should know, because Rebecca was one of their very first employees, and she moved there from Microsoft in 2005. She started out life as a music major, but realized that that was not giving her the satisfaction she wanted. So she went back to the University of Washington to complete her undergraduate degree in mechanical engineering, and then went on to University of California at Berkeley, getting a master's in mechanical engineering, and then went to a little company called Microsoft, at first to work in hardware, but this is kind of fun. The interviewer had no idea how to conduct a hardware interview back in the early 2000s. So Microsoft instead opted to test her out for other things, and she became a program manager for them. And the thing that encouraged her to leave Microsoft had nothing to do except for the fact that this was in the early days. It was 2004 or so, and people weren't working as much virtually, and she found that her commute was too hard on her. And there she was in California. And she saw an ad on a little publication called Craigslist for a company that was in stealth startup mode. And she thought, what the heck? I think I'll try it, because the founders were these guys, Rich Barton and Lloyd Frink, who you may also know founded a little company called Expedia. So they had just come off Expedia. They had just named their company. They weren't sure what they were going to do. And she was in that first generation of employees there. So she began to work on the very first vision of the Zillow website, which has since become the largest real estate marketplace in the U.S. And they've created quite a revolution. And about 8 years ago, while she was doing a lot of engineering stuff, she discovered a greater and greater longing, I would almost call it internal longing, to manage people and mentor people. So Zillow, whose philosophy, by the way, is always hire people who are better than you are, said, sure, you can do that. And as she progressed, as the company grew and she grew with it, leaders under her grew. So she then, while she was at Zillow, launched a side project. And that side project was the beginning of Zillow Group's first diversity program, which began by reviewing how to build diverse points of view and people's experiences into the culture of the organization. So she started thinking about all of that and began to lead it, and then began to think, as many of us often have at points in our career, how you solve the greater social issues that are around us, like access for an underserved population to fair, affordable housing. She discovered over time that this community work and the social mission was where her real passion was centered. So the executives at Zillow said, go for it. And she began to grow a community and culture leadership team. As she moved into the leadership, one of the fun things for her was here she is, a hardware mechanical engineer who then had done a ton of software at both Microsoft and now at Zillow. And she needed to figure out how to manage people who didn't have her aptitudes. And she discovered that she loved that. She loved the process of finding out how to manage people who were completely different from her and advocate for them internally and externally. She was able to set up processes as an engineer, as were many of the people who worked with her, to ask the right questions, to help those employees see and set their own goals, engage their own mentors, and challenge themselves. So they're trying their best at Zillow to remove any kind of barrier to people of any age and any stage to contribute, while also affording each individual employee with maximum autonomy. And she just absolutely loves her executive team because they've let her do so many things. One of the things, for instance, along the way was when Zillow was first launched, it got stronger and it got some attention from another little company called Apple. And so Zillow created the first formal mobile team, and she got on it, and she became its first manager. This was prior to taking her role as community and culture vice president. So that opened a lot more doors for her career, and she began to discover a lot about mobile applications and also how to manage the people who developed them. She's just an amazing person. And very casual in many ways. I mean, when you listen to this particular Diva Tech Talk podcast, you find someone who's incredibly accessible. So it almost, to me, seems like we've, with this podcast, found a woman who truly just matches, or maybe she grew. I have no idea whether she grew in this way or if this just was a perfect match of woman and mission. But she says one of the things she loves and her whole team loves is problems that still need to be solved, because in her mind, diversity and inclusion is still a huge problem. It hasn't even begun to be solved in Silicon Valley, not to mention the rest of the world. But she said, that's what we do here at Zillow Group. We innovate. So I'm going to keep innovating in this whole cultural movement and we'll see how it goes. One of the things we ended the podcast with is we asked her, tell us, Rebecca, besides all the things she began to tell us about her personal life, like what she does to stay in balance and how she manages her family and how she does as a mother and all those things. We said, what's your favorite quote? And without even skipping a beat, she used the one from Juliette Lowe, who, of course, is for many of we women. We know her as the founder of the Girl Scouts. And she literally says her favorite quote is, leave it better than you found it. And that, she thinks, can be applied to anything you're doing today and certainly is much needed in our world, which I think is something probably everyone listening to this podcast, and I know you two probably agree with me on.
Sure.
Kathleen,
we have about five minutes left, so let's get to the MCWT activities.
Okay, so making the world better, which was where I was just going to segue into, Matt.
Cool.
Leaving the world better than you found it, of course, is also part of the impetus for the Michigan Council of Women in Technology. We just finished a whole bunch of things, including grants to six separate RoboFest grant recipients from a variety of high schools in and around Detroit. We just completed our fourth annual Girls Rocket program in Grand Rapids. And May Russell and Valerie Gill from Ford Motor Company went to accept an award from the Girl Scouts, the National Girl Scouts, that was given to MCWT for the great work we're doing. We have two upcoming events that your audience may be interested in. Again, in Grand Rapids, we're doing a ConnectNet on Friday, March 29th, from 8:30 in the morning till about 10:30, where Karen Quigley, who's the director of the PMO, or Project Management Office at Spartan Nash, will lead a discussion on how you do that, what's going on in PMO, and what's the best practices. Then, of course, you guys know, for the last 14 years, we do something called Camp Infinity every summer. We'll have 12 Camp Infinities taking place in the Southeast and Western Michigan area. And Camp Infinity registration is now open for 5th through 7th grade girls. I guess the other thing that I would like to talk about just real quickly is I mentioned two events, and then we have a really big one. Well, we have one that just took place at U of M, which was a discussion of FinTech, financial technology trends, and five of our leaders, Judy Asher from Ford Motor Company, Paula Stoller from Ally, Sujana Tujeja, I can never pronounce that correctly, from TD Ameritrade, Jennifer Charters from Flagstar Bank, and Angela Peake from Pillar all took part in that really exciting and interesting panel that took place on March 12th. And then, of course, coming up at the end of May, we have our Executive Connections Summit, where we'll, again, probably have about 800 people. It keeps growing every year. Sponsorship for that will open up in April, as will registration. And then the last thing I wanted to say is, even in this low unemployment rate that we have now in our community and throughout the country, people are still looking around for new jobs. And MCWT has finally completely filled our resource room, which is the part of the website that directs people to new jobs. And there are 9 very interesting looking jobs sitting there now that anybody who is a member can read about. They range from being a developer at Enterprise Services at Credit Acceptance, to becoming the Assistant Director of Service Support at the University of Michigan, to becoming a Manager of Predictive Analysis or a Modeling Expert. So I would suggest that people who are interested in that go to mcwt.org, touch the button that talks about resources, and look at those jobs. And of course, you can access all 80 of the Diva Tech Talk podcasts, including Rebecca Bastian, at www.divatech.com. Upcoming, we'll be doing, next week, we'll be publishing, so we just talked about someone who's a vice president of a company. Then we're moving over to a friend of ours who happens to be an instructional designer, and he came from a background of learning pottery in school and has a fine arts major that then she took over the last 20 years and applied her intellect and that right and left brain thinking, merging it together into doing instructional design with a technology bent. So Diva Tech Talk is thriving. MCWT is thriving. Do you have any questions?
Well, we've reached the end of the segment, Kathleen. So thank you very much, Kathleen Norton-Schock of Diva Tech Talk and the Michigan Council of Women in Technology. Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, have a great afternoon, guys.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Kathleen.
Bye-bye now.
Yep, and we'll be right back in just a minute with another segment of the M Squared TechCast. Until then, you're listening at podcastdetroit.com.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're having some fun between segments here on the M Squared TechCast.
Yeah, if you only knew, right?
Right. You know, but we have our regular visit from Tember Shea of Invest Detroit.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
How are you?
She's looking very black and white today, notice. So,
yeah.
Okay. Goes with always, everything.
Right. Remember, Newhart always used to wear black, white, and gray?
Yeah.
So she has no gray on it. Like, well, maybe the shoes.
I was going to say, Ross Perot, too, used to talk about the EDS uniform.
Right, yeah.
Like, you know, black suit, white shirt, black tie.
Well, she doesn't have her uniform. Last time you came, you had a little monogram.
Oh, I had my Invest Detroit jacket.
Yeah, it was very nice.
Absolutely. Yeah. I also have at home on my Swim Pro t-shirt.
You.
I got lots of swag.
There we go.
Nice segue.
Lots of swag.
So let's get into the guest here today.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys, for having us today. So you guys know what Invest Detroit is. We're a venture capital firm based in Detroit, and we focus on Michigan companies. So I have one of our great company founders with me today. So Ferris Sabati is the co-founder and CEO of My Swim Pro. So their tagline is empowering aquatic prowess in all swimmers, in addition to shaping the future of swimming. So let me tell you just a bit more before we jump into the questions. It's the number one fitness application for the fastest growing sport in the world, which is swimming. They started in 2014 with a mission to help swimmers of all levels live happier, healthier lives through swimming. They've got swimmers now in more than 150 countries that use the app.
Huh.
They do personalized workout plans, training plans, educational drills. He does great videos, so check it out online.
He's doing one right now,
Yeah, he's doing one right now while we're here. So it's accessible on iOS and Android smartphones, and they actually won the 2016 Apple Watch app of the year.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like some money there.
That's a good one.
Throw some dough at you, did they?
Yeah. So Ferris is obviously one of, and My Swim Pro, he's got two co-founders, is one of our Invest Detroit portfolio companies, and very proud of the things they're doing. So let's hear a little bit about the story now. So Ferris, how did My Swim Pro come about?
Awesome. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. And I guess the story for launching this company really came from my personal experience as a coach and as a swimmer. And really what happened was swimmers and coaches would come to me all the time asking for workouts, asking for training advice. And the reason people ask for advice is because if you go online and you look at the existing fitness applications, none of them are really designed for swimmers. And so I basically took all of this customer discovery and feedback that people were giving me and took that to online research. I realized that this is a really big opportunity to help people and to provide the coaching that people either can't afford or have access to. And we can do that using technology. And that's really how we got started back in 2014.
What's your background in swimming?
So I grew up, you know, I'm fish out of the water right now. So I grew up as a kid. I swam through high school, and then I competed at Wayne State University. And then I continued to swim and compete in master's competitions. I'm still on the track right now, just doing it for fun. But I enjoy being in the water and also doing triathlon as well.
What is your event?
So I focus on the breaststroke events. So 50 breaststroke, 100 breaststroke, 200 breaststroke. I was U.S. Master Swimming National Champion in all three of those events 2 years ago. And now I'm sort of getting into open water. So this summer I'm doing the Bosphorus swim, which is swimming from Asia to Europe in Istanbul. So it'll be in July. So that should be fun.
We can see Meili Ostele over there.
Yeah, maybe.
Our webmaster and social media consultant.
Is it Istanbul or Constantinople? Sorry, old song.
I'll be there in July.
So you have the experience. You know exactly what people are looking for. And when they came to you, is obviously because of the degree of
Yeah, and I think when you're in the market and you're there, you have a different lens into seeing problems that people have. Similarly, you know, if you're in the medical field, if you're in that practice, you're going to see different problems than someone else who's outside of it. So I think being in the industry is super helpful.
Mm-hmm. So how did your actual name for your company come about? That's always a good story.
Yeah, so initially, actually, this is a fun fact. The company was called My Swim Pal, not My Swim Pro. And really, it was about having this companion with you, like a swim pal. And then what we realized is the value proposition is more about coaching and providing a more premium level experience. And it's as if you have a pro with you, like a swim pro, kind of like a golf pro. Mm-hmm. And it's My Swim Pro. So as if you have a swim pro with you at the side of the pool, coaching you, telling you what to do. And we've very early on, we adapted the name from My Swim Pal to My Swim Pro.
Is your app waterproof?
I guess that depends on the device that we're operating on. So, you know, if you're on the Apple Watch, your Garmin, or any of these top smartwatches, those are all water resistant. Now even the phones are water resistant, although I wouldn't advise going for a submersion with those.
when I have the old Galaxy 7, when that first came out,
oh, yeah,
they said test it and put it under the water. And I go, you send me a signed release form that says I can do that because I'm not buying this phone if it shorts out, you know, so.
Yeah, let's keep the phones out of the water. We'll, yeah, keep, we'll keep the swimmers in the water, phones out of the water.
Yeah, good idea. Go. Good idea. So you recently spent time actually in China. We were just talking before the segment. So what were you doing over there and how are you learning about what's happening there?
For sure. So our company is really set on a global mission to empower aquatic prowess around the world. And part of that involves not just, you know, having a product that's successful, but actually being physically in these different countries all over the world. So last December, I was in China for the FINA World Aquatic Convention and FINA World Championships. So my Swim Pro was an official media partner of the World Aquatic Convention. Hmm. A few months prior to that, we were in Germany at Casio, one of our partners. They had a press event. And that same partner, Casio, we were in Tokyo in February. So it's been really awesome to be able to travel the world and to help people, not just here in the United States, but all over the place.
So with the number of people that are on your app, how many of those are outside of the United States?
Yeah, so actually a majority of our community lives outside the United States. And, you know, call it 30% are here in the U.S., but that still leaves a majority in all these other countries. So after the U.S., the next biggest is the U.K., and then Australia, and Mexico and Canada. But it's very long tail. So you mentioned in the intro, you know, over 150 different countries. And what's exciting this year, we're actually translating and localizing the application. So people who are not native to English can download the application natively in their language. So we're doing French, German, Portuguese, Spanish, and Italian. So we'll be in 5 languages in the next couple of months. And my goal is to be in 20 languages natively by the end of next year.
And talk about the Invest Detroit Ventures experience. Let's have a candid testimonial.
Yeah, for sure.
And what's it like to work with Timber, you know? Is it all black and white? Oh, sorry.
Okay. I think Invest Detroit is actually really innovative in the way that they've helped us, in the way that they're investing in companies. So they're not only the most active early stage company in Michigan, one of the most active in the Midwest, actually, but even just the way that we're fundraising. So we're in the middle of an equity crowdfunding campaign right now. And to have a venture fund like Invest Detroit, to be able to commit to that and to do things in a more innovative way, things that really were not even possible just a few years ago, I think that speaks volumes of not just Invest Detroit, but also the Detroit startup community and the ecosystem and where we are right now relative to other startup ecosystems in the world.
Yeah.
So,
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
thank
you. So you guys have been around for how many years now?
So we officially launched in 2015. So this was really an idea and early on in 2014, and then really started to formalize, and we launched the application in 2015.
So it was friends and family out of your own pocket or what when you got started?
That's a great question. So we were actually bootstrapped early on. So we didn't take on any outside funding. It was just sweat equity, you know, putting in the hours at night and on the weekends. And then I went full time in 2015. My co-founders joined me a little bit later. And, you know, we did an accelerator program at the University of Michigan. So they were the first investor, the DeSci Accelerator. And then Invest Detroit came in for our first equity crowdfunding offering. And now we're doing a second open public offering.
Ah. And then at what point did Timber and crew come in?
So they came in the 2017 first open public offering that we did. So first investment was 2016 from University of Michigan. And then 2017, Invest Detroit came in as the lead investor for that open public offering and continuing to invest in our second open public offering that we're currently running right now.
But is this a U of M technology that you spun out? Did you go to the U of M or what?
So I actually did not go to University of Michigan. So we did a program called DeSci, which is like a 16-week accelerator program. Mm-hmm. One of my co-founders, Adam Oxner, he went to Michigan and he swam on the team there. But this program, you don't have to have gone to Michigan to be in it.
Okay, because I was under the impression that U of M only invests in their own technologies, but not the case.
Well, it's not officially U of M. It's actually the DeSci Family Accelerator.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
It's privately funded.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, so they accept everyone.
So how many users do you have at this point?
Yeah, so we keep our numbers pretty public, actually. So in terms of just all of them, we have a little over 800,000 downloads. On a monthly active basis, anywhere from 50 to 60,000 people using the application. We have a little over 7,000 paying subscribers.
That was my next question. What's the business model? Do they like pay a buck to download it, or how does
it? Yeah, so it's a free download, free access to the community. And then if you want a personalized training experience, that's something that we monetize through a subscription. So it's $120 a year or $20 a month. And we have different tiers within that that are a little bit less. And that allows us to drive revenue. And our business model is actually very similar to Netflix in that regard. It's a software subscription. You know, you're unlocking content and media. And it's working out well for Netflix. And we're just trying to hop on the subscription bandwagon.
Yeah, they've made a few bucks off it, right?
You know? Also, so the technology, as you originally started with it, it's kind of evolving and you're finding other opportunities to do other things. So tell us what's going on there.
Yeah. So when we launched in 2015, it was iPhone and Android only. The Apple Watch actually didn't even exist when I was first coming up with this. And so to launch the world's first swimming app on the Apple Watch in 2016, and then to have that named App of the Year, that really helped us accelerate our growth and also focus on the wearable technology components. So after Apple Watch, it became, you know, Garmin and Fitbit and Wear OS for Android Wear. And we'll continue to add different wearable integrations to our platform.
How about maybe then expanding into other areas of opportunity aside from just swimming?
Yeah. And so, I mean, my passion is swimming, and there's obviously a big opportunity, and we're pursuing that. But now it's really opened up an opportunity in triathlon, which is an adjacent market with a similar problem set. So there's all these people who want to do a triathlon, or they sign up for a triathlon, and they have no idea what to do. How do I train for this? How often do I swim, bike, run? And there are solutions out there, but we believe that we can create a mobile and wearable first platform that helps people achieve their goals, you know, whether that's completing their first Ironman or just staying in shape and losing weight. And our launch into triathlon is really exciting because this is launching a new product for the company that's separate from the MySwimPro product. And we have an opportunity to create not only significant traction for the business, but also significant impact for people who are pursuing this triathlon.
We got to save time for Matt's question. He's like burning up over here.
Oh, yeah. This is a question I always ask people on the show, and it came out of the last recession when jobs were hard to find. But are you hiring? And if so, for what skill sets?
For sure. So we are actively hiring, and this is very exciting because we finished last year with 4 full-time people, and that was just a few months ago. We've already hired on a few more, actually. So by May, we'll have 8 full-time and 1 part-time. So we'll be 9. So doubling the company in like 3 months, which is pretty crazy. And we're continuing to hire. So specifically, I think in any technology company, there's 2 main roles. So you have to build the product and sell the product. So on the software engineering side of things, iOS development, back-end engineering, and Android development. If you have those skills and you're passionate about health and wellness and swimming and triathlon, reach out to me. And also on the marketing side, if you have experience on the digital marketing side, if you've worked at a fitness technology startup, that's super helpful. Content marketing is huge. So, I mean, we'll double the team size again in the next 12 months. So actively looking for talent.
Minute left, so you're going to have to give us the how do I get this darn app? It sounds so cool thing. Go ahead.
So you can check out MySwimPro at MySwimPro.com and on all social media. Our website has a lot of information, but if you just follow our story on social media, we actually just passed 100,000 followers on Instagram, so that was a big win for us on the social side. And we look to engage with our community. So if you're looking to get into swimming or triathlon, you should definitely check us out. If you know someone, which everyone does probably, who's looking to do triathlon or swimming, you know, here in Michigan, the summer months are upon us.
But for old guys that just want to get in shape, I mean, could it work for me?
Of course. The only requirement, you have to know how to swim. So sometimes people confuse like, oh, can this teach me how to swim? You're going to have to hire someone in person for that. But once you can swim one length of the pool, download our application. It's a free download, and we can help you swim happier and healthier.
Well, I could swim one length of the pool. You'd probably have to time me with a sundial, but
Hey, progress is progress. You're still lapping everyone on the couch.
That's true. All right. Thanks very much, Faris Sabadi, co-founder and CEO of MySwimPro and Invest Detroit portfolio company. And once again, thanks to Tim Berchet from Invest Detroit for bringing us one of her portfolio companies. We'll be right back in just a minute with another segment of the M Squared TechCast. Right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening at PodcastDetroit.com.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launchpad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast. Right now, we're going to talk about an event coming up Saturday, April 20th at my employer, Lawrence Technological University. So I got to ring the shameless plug bell here.
Shameless plug bell.
Yep, we're plugging my employer, folks. We do this every so often here on the M Squared TechCast. We have with us in the studio, we have Carissa Vadella. On the phone, we have Emily Auten. Emily, are you there?
There.
Okay, great. And we're going to talk about an event coming up Saturday, April 20th at Lawrence Tech. It's called LTU Expo. It was formerly known as the Anime and Gaming
Comic?
Con.
I thought I had Comic Con.
Yeah,
there.
It was formerly. Yeah, so right. I guess whoever wants to handle this first, I guess, tell us just what is LTU Expo, familiarly known as LTUX.
Sure, yeah. So, it's a free, community-driven, campus-wide event. So we're celebrating a blend of gaming, cosplay, and anime culture. We're a one-day convention. We're open to the public. We're going to have quite a few events going on, including we have a virtual guest from Japan. We're going to have tabletop gaming, video gaming. We're going to have the Game Expo, which Carissa can touch on. We're also going to have gaming tournaments, concerts, performances, a dealers and artists hall. So it's going to be a really big event.
All right. Carissa, here in the studio, tell us a little bit about the gaming exhibition. I know a game that you've designed will be one of those on display, right?
It will, yeah. I'm actually working on an audio game that should be there. Y'all should come see it. Should be cool. We're going to have about 35 different developers who are going to be there, all showing off indie games that they've created within the state. Got a bunch of really cool developers that are going to be coming by, including Mage Quit, which is an award-winning game. So,
all right, what are the aims for this event? What are you hoping to accomplish with it?
I know for me personally, we've used this event a lot for growing the community of game development in Michigan. It's really been growing a lot. We've won a lot of awards with the Michigan game developers, as well as made more friends, grew bigger communities, had these bigger events, and that's the sort of thing we want to continue to promote with our events.
Okay, Emily, how about you?
Yeah, so one of my big goals is to bring the community together of like-minded individuals and also people who want to like express themselves, whether it's through like game development or art or cosplay, bring everyone together to have an event where they can enjoy themselves and also be able to express themselves. The big goal for me is to have that space where people can do that and also maybe even take a study break and have some fun. So really want to encourage the local talent and the creativity that comes out of it as well.
All right. I want you to both tell me a little bit about your own sort of personal journey in this community, how you got into this community, you know, the gaming scene, the anime scene. Talk about it a little bit, if you would.
I'll go ahead. So I actually started, I'm a video game developer right now. I do a lot of programming. But when I first got into this community, I was a tabletop gamer. I played a lot of, what have I played recently? A Betrayal on the House of the Hill, that sort of thing. What I was really interested in was the design aspect, as well as the community. When you bring all your friends, you play the board games, you talk trash, you just have fun. And that's what initially introduced me to the game design, which I then got into programming from that, and the logic and the puzzles that are inherent in coding.
Huh. So are you actually on staff at LTU then or not? I'm not sure.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm currently a junior in the game development program.
Okay.
So I'm a student there
right now. A student. I wasn't sure if you're student or staff. So, okay.
Okay, Emily, talk about your path into this event and this community.
Yeah, so I started going to conventions in 2012 when I heard about Yomicon, which was in Detroit. And as soon as I stepped in there, I saw a world of people dressed up and, like, having fun, people who were really into games and stuff. And I'm like, this is totally me. So I got into it through then. I started cosplaying and started making costumes and also buying some. And then just being connected to the community through, like, meetups from different games we liked and, like, just going to and finding all these events. And eventually it just led me to wanting to run one of my own and have like a place where, you know, a local event where people could go to. And one thing with conventions too is a lot of conventions can be expensive. So we wanted to have something that's affordable and that people can get like the same experience alongside the other conventions that are around. So I definitely got into it through that, and it's inspired me to get into like competitive gaming with like Dance Dance Revolution, as well as make my own games because I'm interested in like writing. So like just in general, it's been a very creative and positive thing in my life. And I really wanted to run something where other people could find that or be themselves.
All right. So talk a little bit, Emily, about what this event was like last year. I think it drew a bigger crowd than any of us anticipated.
Yeah. Last year, we ended up having quite a few people attend, and we had different events. So it was kind of similar to what we're having this year. So we had a lot of people like come up for like cosplay stuff. We had a lot of people attend the Dealers and Artists Hall. It was a really good vibe and like very awesome crowd that came out. I believe we had over 1,000 people, and it was just a really awesome experience seeing like it come to life from like the planning process to having it just kind of come to life at the day of the event. So I'm really excited to see that again. And we really worked hard this year to make it even better, taking feedback from last year's event and also adding more events and different opportunities for students that we didn't have before.
So talk about both of you about some of the, I guess there's going to be panel discussions as well. What would the topics be like?
One of our special panels we're going to have a voice actor from California call. Her name is Xanthi. She's very famous in like the voice acting community, and she's a really awesome person. She's going to call in through Skype and do a panel on video game voice acting. So anyone who might be interested in that,
Matt.
She's going to say like her journey and stuff like that. So.
Okay, and talk about the virtual personality, the virtual performer from Japan that's going to make an appearance as well.
Yeah, so we're going to have a concert for Iya, who is a virtual artist. If anyone has heard of Vocaloid or Hatsune Miku, she's kind of the same thing. So basically, to keep it short, Vocaloid's like a computer program where artists can make different songs, and Iya is one of them, and we're going to have a live official concert screening of one of her past performances there. And we also are going to have a merchandise giveaway there as well. And it's going to be really cool and like really awesome experience to have like a guest from Japan from the official company. So
I know LTU has a couple of programs that are related to gaming. We've got a game art program and a game. It's a computer science major concentrating in game software design. Carissa, tell me again where you fall into that.
I'm on the computer science side of things.
Okay, so who's your major instructor for that?
For us, we still tend to fall under Mars Ashton and Bryce. We tend to collaborate a lot with the game art program, but technically our head of program for game software would probably be Hans Mills. We're a minor or concentration.
Okay, gotcha. And Emily, how about you?
Currently, I am a graduate student in the Professional and Technical Communications program at Lawrence Tech. I'm actually doing research on video games right now in one of my classes, so hoping to get more research in that.
So when is we have an annual event at LTU that we do for the gaming program called Infinite Machine. Do you know when that's scheduled for this year? That's another event people can come check out.
I do, actually. I am actually the current president of Infant Machines, so real convenient. Okay.
Well, I guess she would know
that,
right?
Happy, yeah. That's a happy
hopefully,
accident.
Yeah. The last couple of times people have asked me, I've forgotten. So. Better than I knew this time. We are going to be on March 27th at 7 p.m. till about 10 p.m. We're going to have a bunch of our alumni come by and speak, as well as we're going to show off the games that you're going to also see at the LTU Expo, some of the student games.
So that's coming right up then, the 27th. And I was surprised last year to see where our game design people are working. It's not they don't all just work for gaming companies. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Around here, obviously, you know, Detroit is big on the car companies. That tends to be a huge place that hires a lot of our people. So the car configurators, when you go on their websites and you're like, oh, I want a blue car with like white leather seats, that's the sort of thing we can make.
Yeah, and that has a lot of video gaming components in it, the whole build and price configurator thing. So, yeah.
Good point. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, and also they work for places like Quicken Loans, work for financial institutions. I mean, it's really pretty surprising where this technology can take you. And I was, as someone who has to try to market LTU, I was glad to see that all six of the people they had presenting last year were gainfully employed, which is always an important
thing. In all these
thing.
Different fields, right?
Yeah, and they were all over the place. You know, some of them even worked for the military. Gaming is a huge business these days. It's last I heard, $21 or $24 billion a year business.
Wow.
And that's just in the game part of it, not in the gamification. I mean, companies are using gaming technology to train people to interact with the public. They're using it in all sorts of ways.
Now, that beautiful voice of Matt's, do you think that would fit in as one of your voice talents?
Okay.
You should come check it out.
I might give it a shot. Well, I came to Infinite Machine last year, and I was at the event last year taking pictures. It was a lot of fun, and way more people than I thought, like 1,200 people total.
Wow.
So, and what kind of stuff are we going to find at the vendors fair?
So we're going to have everything from art posters to prints to plushies, official merchandise from like animes and games. We're going to have like a really good variety of really talented local artists, and we're really excited to see what they bring and like what they show off and what they have for people to buy. So we're really excited for that.
Okay, well, if people want more information about LTUX, where do they go?
We have a Facebook event that's LTU Expo 2019 on Facebook, where we have updates pretty much every day. We also have our newly designed website by our alumni, Beatrice Ewan, which is ltuexpo.com. And it's really awesome. And we have that. We're going to be updating that in the next few weeks with a full schedule of events. So.
Okay. What are you both most looking forward to about this?
I think for me, seeing a lot of our returnees, they've been working on the same game, so they've improved that whole year. And seeing how they've grown and seeing how the entire community has grown, we've gone up by about 10 game developers this year. Seeing that increase in community is what I'm really excited about this year.
Okay, Emily?
Yeah, I'm excited for that as well. Especially, I had a lot of friends who, you know, maybe they didn't know much about like game development, who came last year and were like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. So just seeing that, like seeing other people be inspired by the event itself, whether it's the game development or maybe even just a panel, like going to a panel and enjoying it, just seeing the inspiration and like positive vibes that come out of it, I'm really excited to see that and just the overall excitement of the event.
Okay. I want to thank both Carissa Vadella in studio and Emily Auten on the phone. The event is the LTU Expo or LTUX. It is coming up Saturday, April 20th on the LTU campus in Southfield. We'll be right back with another segment of the M-Squared TechCast. But for right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M-Squared TechCast at PodcastDetroit.com.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launchpad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best.
Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Roush.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to another fun-filled segment of the M Squared TechCast.
We are waiting for our guest to come in. I'm hoping she will do so. But if not, then we'll wing it since I was at the launch event for its Backstage Accelerator. Monica Wheat should be joining us, we hope. If not, then I can kind of tell you a little bit about it. I think Matt can look it up on his computer there, and we can just talk about we'll fill in here until she joins us, hoping she does. So anyway, Monica is the managing director of this new accelerator, one of four around the world. Has she joined us? All right. Keeps me from screwing up here.
Keep us on the straight and narrow, please, Monica.
All right. I was winging it there until you came in. So, all right. So we're live. So, Monica, I was just starting to do the warm up on this Backstage Accelerator. I was at your launch event last week. Just started to say you're one of four of these accelerators around the world. Why don't you run with the ball from here? Because you obviously know much more than I do.
No worries. So Backstage Accelerator is a new program from Backstage Capital. And it is being launched in four cities worldwide. Detroit was the first of the four to launch. This week is launching Philadelphia. Next week is Los Angeles, and the week after that is London.
Oh, wow.
So we have four cities, and we have 25 companies spread upon the four cities that we will be accelerating.
Now, whoops, I cut Matt off there.
No, but go ahead.
I was at the launch, and so I heard some of the other numbers. You had thousands of people apply. How did you cull that down to seven of the finalists?
It was pretty intense. We actually had over 1,900 applications for the spot.
Wow.
And then the 1,900 applications went down to about 100 finalists. And then the 100 finalists went down to 25 final selections across the 25 cities. And then Detroit got seven of those. So it was a pretty intense process, but our team is real. We are a pretty experienced and well-seated team. And they had a setup. They had it all set up. And we did it as a group. We evaluated each thing as a team. So each applicant got multiple, depending on what round they were in, they got multiple people looking at their app and scoring it. And then we did interviews with different groups. It was a pretty intense process, but it was effective, and it got us to some amazing teams.
So what is the focus of Backstage? What kind of entrepreneurs do you focus on?
Absolutely. So we are looking for what we call them, it's underrepresented, but we call them underestimated founders. So we focus on women, people of color, and the members of the LGBTQ community. So folks who traditionally find it hard to get venture capital from traditional means are the focus of Backstage. And that's been the focus of Backstage Capital, which is the fund that is backing us. It's about getting access. But more importantly, what I was excited to tell everybody at the launch party and just in general is that these are all companies that are poised or already in the process of scaling. Many of whom have built their product base up to seven figures, who have, you know, already have huge followings on social media and customer bases and wholesale deals, and they're national marketers and things like that. But they've built it largely on their own, just because underrepresented folks are not. They're just not connected to the venture capital and the investment community, and they typically don't have the same access to some of the connections, people, investors, mentors, things like that, that the broader market does. So super excited and super pleased to be working with these companies because they are doing some really amazing work.
Is that what stood out for these seven that ended up in Detroit, all the things you just cited that they've already scaled, they've got a big audience, they did it on their own? Because I know you guys give them, what, $100,000 each, right?
Yes. We are investing $100,000 in exchange for 5% equity in each company. And those are some of the things. We do have some companies that are pre-launch. We have one company that's pre-launched in Detroit and some of the other cities as well. For some of those, it was more about
the potential of their idea, but it was really a combination of things. It's, you know, how well do they know their product? How well do they know their target? How well do they know their business plan and how they plan to make money? And to some extent, you know, how much money they've made, but we are considered an early stage accelerator. So it wasn't, you know, definitely fully focused on, yes, you know, they've got X amount of money or X amount of traction. That wasn't it. It was really, really highly reliant on how they stood out against the other applicants and how well they could tell their story. It's something that we talk about a lot of backstage, which is sometimes folks mistakenly think that because the focus is underrepresented founders, that the investment is based on a social need. But no, it's based on finding really unfound opportunities and companies that that just aren't connected. So it's really, really both an investment play, but also an investment play with a social good attached to it.
So give us some examples of the kinds of companies that are being funded here in Detroit.
Sure. So we have 7 companies. I'm actually looking at a list, so I'll go down their alphabetical list. We have Allergy, which is a medical devices company. So they focus on both wellness, and they have a hardware and a software piece. We have Bippy, which is sustainable wellness brand, which they are looking at subscription-based opportunities for their target audience to get access to things like they call themselves they're focused on butt play, things that everybody does, but they were really poised to scale because they're doing it in a sustainable way, subscription model. Casting de Corsocia, which is focused on 3D subscription manufacturing, which they've done amazing work with a lot of different entities, high end brands, things like that. They take high end jewelry designs, things like that, multi-sided marketplace, and they're allowed to 3D print them on a subscription basis. CrowdFreak, which is focused on providing opportunities for unknown artists to get in front of large, to be the opening act. They compete. It's a gamified system where they compete to get a spot in front of large known acts. So they really work a lot with large scale entertainment venues all over the world.
Oh, that's a neat idea.
Food Stand, which is based on looking at across the board team challenges and ways to do food goals, where you're looking at how do you, you know, within a 30-day plan that you do, and they traditionally work with a lot of B2B folks, HR, things like that, where they join team challenges on helping people change their eating habits. It's really, really focused on the way on changing behavioral aspects, how people interact with food and health and nutrition. Healthy Roots, which is a toy company which has a social mission, which is focused on providing toys that are dolls that have natural hair to definitely penetrate the ability to tell stories and for girls to have gameplay with dolls and natural hair, especially young girls of color. And then Naturalicious, which the founder, which has the one of the first patents for natural hair care. So she focuses on creating her product. She's already in Sally Beauty and some other large-scale places where she has a product that is focused on reducing the amount of time that women have to use in order to take care of natural hair with her product, which obviously, like I said, first patent that has ever been awarded for that kind of thing. So we're pretty excited with all of them because they're all at various levels of revenue, all at various levels of achievement, and all at various levels of customers and clients, but they're all pretty hefty companies that we're very, very proud to have a part of the cohort.
All right. Now, Backstage Capital is based in Los Angeles. The founder and managing partner, Arlen Hamilton, has a pretty incredible backstory from what I read on Crunchbase, right?
She does. She's been doing some amazing stuff. I'm super pleased to be able to work with her. She has started out, I think the official date, I think was 2014, where she was really first starting out in this space, where she started from scratch to build this venture fund from the ground up. She was at certain points in her story and her history, she was homeless and just really grinding to, build this company without, you know, just the traditional background and traditional entry that most folks do. And then she came up with a plan that, 2-3 years ago, 2016, she came up with a plan that she wanted to fund 100 underestimated or underrepresented founders by 2020. Well, she actually hit that goal in May of 2018, almost a year and a year and a half early.
Wow.
2 years and a half early almost. But so the first fund has over 100 headliners. These are seed stage investments, but there's over 100 headliners are the companies that we invest in. So over 100 of them from the first fund, and now there's these additional 25, and then there's an additional fund that she's raising right now for the next round of things that they want to do. And I think that's something that we've all been super excited that just being able to be in the midst of such energy and bringing such amazing people to the forefront who've done a lot of things both in California and Los Angeles and New York and just all across the country and abroad. Massive amount of talent on the team. I'm very pleased to be working with the group that we're working with.
We've actually had Allergy and Naturalicious on this show sometime in the past year. I know.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, because we're all about tech-based entrepreneurship here. That's what we cover. That's what we're about. So how did you happen to get involved with this effort?
I run a group, ecosystem development group called Venture Catalysts. And so one of the things that we do is we run large-scale entrepreneurial programs in Detroit and in similar markets. And we run Startup Week and Startup Boost, which is a global pre-accelerator. Sure. And we bring Afro Tech. We're working on bringing some TechCrunch programming here, just a lot of large-scale partnerships. So I actually saw Arlen speaking about this and the fact that they were launching an accelerator in September, I think it was. And one thing I forgot to mention is they had already planned to launch in Philadelphia, Los Angeles, and London. But the fourth city, they were leaving up to a nationwide vote. And they were saying, we'll let the cities vote and see who should, what should be the next location. So it just light bulb went off in my head that, hey, this would be a great way to pull on the Detroit Startup Week audience, which is 12,000 plus, which is our attendance last year. Startup Boost audience, which is global, all these different places that I knew that we had done work and had partnerships. I had made a plan that I was going to push to bring the accelerator here to Detroit. My goal was just to get it here.
That's how it worked out.
Huh? I was trying to give another opportunity, my normal. But when they came on board, they were like, "Hey, we think you would be really great to help us run this." And I was like, "Oh, sure." And it was really, 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 really. They call serendipitous meaning of us because we're all very similar. We're all doing very similar things in our respective markets, and some of us are like myself that work in multiple markets throughout the U.S. and abroad, and these are my teammates and my colleagues are some amazing folks doing great things for entrepreneurs. So when they were they were looking for someone to run it, and they thought I could be that person. And I was like, I would be very much pleased. And so I brought on some of the Venture Catalyst team, which is part of what we do is we bring on these different entities. And we've been super glad with the partnership and super glad to have this live and running in Detroit. And we launched last week.
And one of your partners is Amanda Luan, who, of course, has been on the show many times. So I'm not sure what role she's playing. What is she doing with you guys?
Yeah, so Amanda is one of our partners from a Venture Catalyst standpoint. She is one of my co-founders for Venture Catalyst. From a backstage perspective, she's come on board to help run. She's one of our program managers who runs the mentorship. So she's really, really focused on the mentorship aspect of the accelerator. So we had dozens upon dozens of folks reach out, and we're still in the midst of processing all those folks. But we had dozens of people reach out saying they wanted to, from venture firms, from tech firms, from startups, from big corporate, from small corporate, different places, who reached out saying they wanted to be a mentor. And Amanda is doubling down to organize all of that for us.
Yeah, this effort has some pretty high-powered corporate partners, too. A little company called Microsoft, a little company called MailChimp. I mean, those are both pretty big tech companies, so.
Absolutely. There's a lot of folks both still in play, both from a local standpoint and a national standpoint. We are still in Detroit. We are still open, and we're actively still talking to folks to see who will be good partners for helping us finish the launch here in Detroit. But we also have folks that we're partnering with just from a programmatic standpoint, and then folks are partnering with that we're looking for to be sponsors and just overall helping us help these cohorts get to the next level. So we are in the midst of still doing those pieces. So, but we've got a lot of, like you said, firepower to who are our launch partners, which was Microsoft and MailChimp. There's a lot of firepower to kick us off.
Well, why don't you ask your question, Matt?
What I was going to ask was, you talk about having a curriculum. Do these companies meet together, or are they counseled individually, or how does that work?
Both. We have a pretty comprehensive 12-week/3-month program. There's with the curriculum, we have multiple times per week that we're meeting as a group, but there's also multiple times per week that we're having one-on-one meetings with them, both part of the venture team, we've had one-on-ones with them with investors, one-on-ones with them with mentors. So the curriculum is kind of really curated around each company and where they are and what they need. Some are have a manufacturing aspect. Some are just purely digital plays. Some are a hybrid. Some have, different aspects. So we bring in experts based on what kind of company they are. So some of those experts will meet with them, as a group, and then they'll break off on one-on-one. And some of them are coming in specifically to meet with one particular founder because their expertise lines up with what the founder needs.
Okay. So if people want more information about Backstage Detroit, Monica, where should they go?
Yep. So it's backstagecapital.com/cities/Detroit. And all the information is on there, including the cohort with some links to all of their sites, including ways that you can get in contact with us if you are interested in being a partner or a sponsor or just learning more. And then also there's an ability to sign up for our newsletter, which will show some of we had a launch party. We'll also be having a big closing party at the end, and then we'll have some investor days and stuff in the middle. So we'll be sending more information about that to our newsletter.
Okay. That's Monica Wheat. She's Managing Director of Backstage Detroit. Monica, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, sure. We want to thank Monica Wheat for being with us today and all of our guests today. We had Emily Auten and Carissa Vadella from the LTU Expo for my employer, Lawrence Tech. We had Timber Shea from Invest Detroit and one of their clients, co-founder and CEO of My Swim Pro, Ferris Sabati. And then we started off the show with Kathleen Norton Schock talking Diva Tech Talk and the Michigan Council of Women in Technology. Nice variety today. And it was, as Kathleen pointed out, aside from Ferris and us, all women today.
Yeah, it wasn't really planned. It was serendipitous, I guess, right?
Okay. So. All right. Well, we'll be back with you again next Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time right here at PodcastDetroit.com. You can also listen to past segments of the show wherever fine podcasts are found, from SoundCloud to iTunes to MITechNews.com. Why don't you go there and check it out?
Yes, perfect spot.
Okay, that's Mike's thing. Let's ring the bell again.
Okay, yeah.
All right, until next Monday, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you've been listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at PodcastDetroit.com.